Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, August the 25th, 2013.
Well, it is great to have you with us, and hopefully you'll join with us as we sing and worship the Lord in song tonight. I'm going to start by the old song, He Keeps Me Singing, but focusing a little bit on heaven as we begin our service tonight and the songs that we're singing, so hopefully it's an encouragement to you. Let's stand as we begin tonight. There's Within My Heart.
From the dead, and I will rise when he comes.
One day. We thank you for those that have gone before us. We thank you that we have that sweet reunion. But most of all, we thank you that we'll see you face to face. What a joy that's going to be. Lord, even so, come quickly. Amen. You may be seated. We went through a chorus last, and we'll take the offering in a little while. I guess I should say that for the Bergens and their ministry. Just a couple more songs as we begin, or as we continue tonight. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Sing with me.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your seen today in our acts of
So glad to have Burdette to open the Word and report a little bit about some of the things that have been going on in Germany. And I know that it's been, what was it, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago? No, I was thinking when we actually visited you in Germany. And all that was a spectacular experience, and we particularly enjoyed riding with Burdette and, you know, being sort of schooled in European driving styles and things like that, and parking styles as well. So anyway, we're sure glad to have you. We'd like you to open the Word and report to us, if you would, please. Thank you.
We were going somewhere. I think we may have been driving up to Missouri, which is our first series of meetings, and we were on the interstate, and my wife made the statement, boy, people sure drive slow here. we're used to the German Autobahn, so there is no speed limit on the majority of it. So, but we try to be careful. I try not to be too reckless. But anyway, I do want to take this opportunity to thank you as a church family for the blessing you've been to us, and not only as our sending church, and you've been an encouragement in your support and prayers, and I often say that grace is the kind of sending church that every missionary should have. You've just really been a a very great blessing to us. But also the fact that you're a good church home for our children and our grandson, and Stephen, have to mention him, and then a new one coming in September. So I do want to thank you, and as I show some pictures of our ministry, things that are going on in Germany, I want you to remember this is not only our ministry, but this is your ministry. We are an arm of grace in Germany, helping grace fulfill the Great Commission of carrying the gospel around to all the world. We've been serving with Baptist Mid-Mission since 1980, and a few years ago, our ministry team in Germany got together for some strategic planning, and part of our strategic planning was to develop a vision statement to summarize what our priorities in Germany are. And this is the statement we came up with. With God's help, BMM Germany team will advance the gospel of Christ by planting churches on a nationwide scale, by using effective evangelistic methods, by recruiting team members, and by training national leaders. That is what our priorities in Germany are. So when we're thinking about a new ministry or a new area, we ask ourselves, are these going to help us reach our goals? A very important part of missionary ministry is not only the Great Commission, but also what we read in 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We not only want to see Germans saved, churches start in Germany, Germans established in churches, but we want to see Germans ministering. German pastors, German missionaries, German teachers. And God has enabled us to see that more and more, and we are so grateful. Here's an example. The cities on the bottom part of the map are the cities where our ministries have really been centered since BMM's been in Germany. Only two of these cities have missionary pastors, only missionary pastors. The church in Mainz, where Gutenberg had his printing press, is a missionary work with a missionary pastor. And the church in Nuremberg, just south of us, has a missionary pastor. In fact, the missionary that started the church that I am working in started Daughter Church in Nuremberg. What excites us is all the German pastors. A church in Ingolstadt, about an hour north of Munich, has a young man that was a senior philosophy student at a Catholic university, and he got saved. And the Lord called him to preach. He was trained by the missionaries, and now he's a very capable pastor. Church in Erlangen, where we are ministering, has a German pastor. I'll introduce you to him in just a minute. Church in Munich, where he ministered for 20 years, has a German pastor. The church in Landshut, northeast of Munich, is co-pastored by a American missionary and a German that I'll also introduce you to. And the church in Bad Halburg, down at the foothills of the Alps, is pastored by a German young man. So that's exciting. We ministered in the city of Munich from 1985 to 2004. We helped establish the Independent Baptist Church of Western Munich. I've been meeting in this building the past several years. Well, they had to move. The landlord was wanting to tear down the buildings and have something nicer put up, but they were able to move next door. Some fruit from our ministry. Frank was a engineering student finishing up his training. He was newly married. He and his wife attended our church, started attending our church in 1990. We discipled him with our co-workers. They went to German Bible College, and Frank is now a church planting missionary with a German church planting mission board. He heads up our children's camps and just has a real exciting ministry. Stefan Philippi was a German young man that was in Bible college in northern Germany, had a burden for medical missions in Bangladesh. He went back to his home near Heidelberg and took nurses training, applied for jobs all over, but got a job in Munich. So he was attending our church, and make a long story short, Stefan was accepted by Baptist Missions a few years ago to go to our hospital in Bangladesh, and he has just now reached 100% of his support, and he was waiting on security clearance from the Bangladesh government, and he was passing through Chattanooga just day before yesterday, so we saw Stefan, and he had just received word that he has a green light. So he'll be going to Bangladesh in October. Reinhold is the pastor of the church in Munich. 2005 to the present, we've been working in Erlangen, just north of Nuremberg, helping out in the Independent Baptist Church of Munich. It's pastored by Oliver Meyer, a German young man who was called to preach as a law student, came to the States, did studies at Faith Baptist Seminary, did some studies at Baptist Bible Seminary in Clark Summit, and some counseling training. He's a very, very capable pastor and a joy to work with. My responsibilities, I help out any way I can in the church. I preach once a month. I'm scheduled to preach in about 2 or 3 weeks, so you can pray for me. I'll have to get back into the German language quick. We also help out in the book table. We have a book table in downtown Erlangen once a month where we pass out tracts and try to speak to people as they come by, and even a good opportunity for the teens and the children to come, pass out tracts and help out. Big part of my ministry is what we call our theological training center. Another missionary and the German pastor and I have developed basically a Bible college curriculum. A lot of the basic classes you can see here, the different doctrines, survey, interpretation, exposition, homiletics, ethics, counseling, and history of the free church. And at present, we're having classes twice a week. Mondays, we have classes in Nuremberg. This past spring, I taught the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and had a really good a bunch of people. Our co-worker, Jeff Brown, taught the Book of Acts. And we have people come to our classes, not only from our churches, but other people hear the class and take them. Tuesday evenings, we have classes in our church. I taught a class with our Pastor Oliver in biblical counseling. And then I taught a class in homiletics. I've taught that a couple of times. Some of our students are serving the Lord. Johannes is now our youth director in our church. Daniel went on to a seminary in Germany, is taking further training, and he's also co-pastoring a church. And then it's been a joy for us. Lately, we've had a lot of university students in our classes from the University of Munich. They're really a joy to work with. We have different activities with the churches get together. As church leaders, we meet together about 3 or 4 times a year, and it's really a joy for us as missionaries to partner with the German pastors and church leaders and praying with and for each other and doing some planning and different activities, camps and retreats and things like that. I've also been able to speak in some other churches. May 1st is a holiday in Germany, and one of the churches will establish, invite people to what they call Fun Day, and there'll be about 200, 250 people come from the different churches. We'll grill a lot of the good German meats, have a good speaker. This is one of our preaching students, Renee, who's very gifted. He's finishing up his doctorate in biology. But I think the Lord may be calling him to preach. And the men get together for a time of just encouraging each other and having workshops, different things. Mary Jane's ministries, she's also staying busy. January, they have a ladies' weekend held usually in a youth hostel. Sometime it's been held in the youth hostel in Nuremberg, which is in the city castle, which dates back to the 13th century. And Mary Jane spoke that year on the prayer, and they've have that every January with about 60 ladies or so. Another thing that the churches have, they'll have coffee times or breakfast and invite other ladies to come. These are evangelistic. Many ladies would not come to a regular church service because they consider anything that's not Catholic or Lutheran a cult. But if you invite them to coffee time, a lot of times they'll come. Of course, it's all decorated very nicely with tablecloths and china and the whole nine yards. And we'll have a speaker. This is our pastor's wife, Catherine. And it's a good time for the ladies to just sit around and talk to each other and witness to each other. These are three Chinese ladies, a lot of Chinese in Germany. There's a man in our church that heads up in a German-wide organization whose goal is to reach Chinese with the gospel. There are thousands and thousands of Chinese that come to Germany to study and to get job training. And he wanted his wife to be more involved in the ladies' in his ministry. She had been directing the children's ministry. And because of that, she stepped out of the children's ministry, and they invited Mary Jane to head up the children's ministry at the church. We have four classes. These are the school-age children. First day of school, we call all the children up to the platform, and the pastor prays for them. A lot of these kids may be the only Christians in their whole school, so they need a lot of prayers. And God's really working. She has two preschool classes and two school-age classes. And Doro, the teacher of this class, studied up at Northland for 2 years, and she's finishing up her degree in English education. She used to be a kid in the classes. Camp ministry is also a big part of our ministry. Now it's more a big part of Mary Jane's ministry because I've kind of stepped aside and let the younger men do it. But the camp director said that every church needs a grandma, and that's Mary Jane's job. So this is the children's camp. They have about 60 kids that come to camp and have about the same number of teens. We have both camps the same week on the same facility, but have two entirely separate programs. Works out very well. We have a property by the Czech border that we're able to use the first week of August and just have an exciting ministry. Here's a little bit of the fruit of the ministry. This picture was taken back in 2001. The young lady in the white on the top is Annegret. She's now in the university and helps out in the children's work. The young lady, or the girl in the yellow, is Kirsten. The lower girl in the dark blue is her sister Vera. And then Louisa, who's moved to another city. This is Vera now. She's one of the counselors at camp, doing a good job. This is Kirsten, also a counselor at camp. She works at the children's ministry. She's going to medical school, learning to be a doctor, but still wants to serve the Lord. And this is a young man from another church that came up to our camp, Matthias. Also is very interested in Vera, kind of a budding romance going there. But God can use camp in different ways. And Mary Jane's also done a lot of cooking. She's the cook for the winter camp that's held between Christmas and New Year's up close to the mountains. 1 year, the topic was Islam. They had a converted Muslim come and share his testimony and give tips on how to witness to Muslims. There's a lot of Muslims in Germany. Then they had an Arabic meal where they sat on the floor and Mary Jane had to Google Arabic recipes and everything. They had a really good time. What can you do? We'd like you to continue to pray for us. We're thankful that you do. I fly back to Germany on September 5, and I'm scheduled to preach on the 15th, so I'm going to have to hit the floor running, but that's okay. Mary Jane's staying till October 10 to welcome our granddaughter, who should be born in late October. So pray for us. Pray for the German people. It's a joy to work with them. Pray for more missionaries. And we always challenge people to pray, asking if God might want you to join our team. This is a picture of our missionary team taken at our Bible conference last April. Right now we have five couples and two single ladies working on our team. Four of the couples have passed their 60th birthday. So we need some new blood. God is starting to send us some new blood, so just pray that God will continue to call people to Germany. Thank you very much, and I have laid some prayer cards out on the tables, and help yourself, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask us, and if you think of questions later, you can always ask our kids, and they can really give you the lowdown. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. I'd like us to look at an exemplary missionary church. What should a church look like that's really doing the job? You know, we can learn through theory, and there is a lot of theory in planning and growing a church. But what's really more effective is to see a church that's doing it right and look at them. That was the kind of church the church at Thessalonica was. Paul was in Thessalonica, his second missionary journey. It was the largest city of this Macedonia, which is northern Greece. He spent 3 weeks there. You can read that in Acts 17 if you want to look at it more later. And then ministered some after his ministry in the synagogue. He got thrown out of the city. He got concerned about the church and sent Timothy back to check things out to see how they're doing. And Timothy returned and reported to Paul. And Paul wrote this letter in answer to Timothy's report. And look what he said in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul said, every time I think of you, I am so encouraged. Are people encouraged when they think of us? When they think of what God is doing in our lives, how it's evident. And they had grown so much to where Paul says, here a little bit later, verse 7, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. This small group where Paul had only ministered just a few weeks had developed a church and had grown so much. He said, all over Greece, you are an example to them. Macedonia was northern Greece, Achaia was southern Greece. But not only that, it says in verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. The known world had heard about this body of believers. They were doing such a good job ministering. Well, what were they doing right? I think one thing, a key to their ministry there, we read in verse 3, after Paul said he prayed for them often, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. Did you notice that it talks about the work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope? Faith, love, hope. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? If you look at 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Colossians 1, 4, and 5 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Again, these three things. And then the book of 1 Thessalonians, close to the end, talks about them, these three things again. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So these three virtues were important. But they're not only virtues, they're something that really impacted these people's lives. Because Paul talks about the outworking of these virtues. He talks about the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. And I notice a bit of an increase in intensity in these things. He talks about the work of faith. Biblical faith does something. The Danish theologian and philosopher Kierkegaard said faith is a leap in the dark. Well, most time a leap in the dark is stupidity. But biblical faith believes in something, believes in the Word of God, and then acts upon what that does. And if you look at the faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11, you'll notice by faith, these people did something. It affected their lives, the work of faith. They had received the word. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to share the gospel with people. And when people hear the word of God and respond to the word of God, that brings faith. That brings faith. And it's encouraging in verse 5, Paul says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Paul said, yes, the gospel is words, and words are important. But what's more important is the power behind these words. I'm glad that success in Germany doesn't hang up. It isn't dependent upon me. Hanging on me, that's how you would say it in German, translated roughly. But it's not dependent upon me. It's God's power. God says, my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I please and prosper the thing wherein I have sent it. If we are faithful in sharing the word of God, God will work. But Paul closes verse 5 with an interesting statement. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. What's that talking about? I think that's talking about Paul's willingness to adapt to the people that he was ministering to, so that he could communicate to them and have an effective ministry to them. Our job in Germany is not to plant an American church that uses the German language. We want to plant a German church. So yes, we are working in the German language, and we also want to understand the German culture and adapt to the German culture. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. To the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul was willing to adapt. We're not talking about theological compromise. That's no question. We do not compromise on biblical truth. But we do adapt. Germans do things different than Americans do in any culture. And when you pray for missionaries, pray for their ability to communicate. It's not only the using the right word, but we want them to understand the words, and even our gestures. Here, if somebody has a good idea, you point your head. That was smart. Well, if you do that, looking at a policeman in Germany, you'll get arrested. It means you have a bird flying around in your head. It's almost a profanity to. Look at a policeman and do this. Even with idiom, if you try to translate idiom, sometimes it can backfire. If someone in America is kind of sad, down, you'll say, well, that person's blue. In Germany, if you say somebody's blue, it means they're dead drunk. So you just have to adapt. And even in the way some things are done in the church. But you have to adapt. And Paul was willing to do that. And that was a big part of his success, I believe. And the people received the word to where it really affected their lives. And other people saw that they meant business, that God had changed their lives. So it talks about the work of faith. It also talks about the labor of love. This is a stronger word. The word labor is stronger than the word for work. It's talking about working to the point of exhaustion. As some people say, giving till it hurts. Working even if you have to get your hands dirty. Or invest a lot of time. Do things that aren't necessarily fun. But you're willing to just go the second mile to help people out. Remember the passage in 2 Corinthians 8 where Paul talks about giving and how these people gave out of their poverty. They gave themselves to God first, and they gave out of persecution. He was talking about the Macedonians. And what's the capital of Macedonia? It's Thessalonica. So talking about these people, how they're willing to give till it hurts, and then they gave some more. That is what we call labor of love. Do you love people enough that you do what you can to help them out, even if it does cost you time or money or just whatever? But labor of love. I heard a missionary preach a message many years ago at a temple during a missionary conference, Love with Shoes On, talking about how love should really affect our ministry. And in closing, we'll look at the last virtue, patience of hope. Patience of hope. I don't know about you, but for me, one of the hardest things in the Christian life is waiting. You know, we can pray and God answers right away with yes, and we're excited. And if we pray and God right away closes the door, we say, well, God, you know best. But the hardest is when we pray and God says, well, just wait. Not now. Sometime it may be during a loss. Maybe lost your job and you're waiting for a new job. Maybe it's through health problems, family problems, other difficulties where you're not necessarily seeing an answer right away and you just have to wait. That's tough. That's tough. And I do not see how people in the world can go through things that they go through without the Lord. But how can we go through difficult times in life? How can we wait? Because we know what's coming. We have a hope. And hope in the Bible is not like us saying, well, I hope it's going to be nice weather tomorrow. I hope I'm going to get a raise. I hope winter's not going to be too bad this year. I hope my car will last another few months or whatever. Hope in the Bible is a rock-solid assurance that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And when you look at the future, that is a hope. We can be 100% sure that we have a wonderful future coming. The best is yet to come, folks. And that's exciting. And even the hope should affect our lives. Paul mentioned things in Thessalonians that hope did for these people. And then John mentioned in his epistle, he that has this hope in him purifies himself. If you really have a true scriptural hope, you will live differently. So faith, love, and hope. Can people see that in your life? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for the faith that we have through Christ. Totally undeserved, but it's a gift on the basis of your Son shed blood. Also for the love that we've received from you that we can share with others because you first loved us. And then for the hope that we have that no matter what we're going through here, it's nothing compared to the glory that we'll have when we're with you. Lord, we want to thank you that we do have this assurance in your word. Lord, help us to apply your word to every area of our lives and to show other people all around us that our God can and does change lives. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.
Well, thank you, Burdette. I'll tell you, when you begin to think about ministry, somebody sticking with it, you know, over a period of time and been faithful and learning a language and doing all of those kinds of things, and then you take a good long look at the fruits of their ministry, see what the Lord did in your own home and everything, that's really kind of neat. And you and your good wife have done a super, super job. We sure appreciate and we're glad to have you a part of the Grace family and everything. That's a wonderful ministry. We're going to take an offering for them, and so let me encourage you to give and to give generously. Whatever is not otherwise designated is going to go to them. Now, let me just also say that I don't think Judy Hodges would be happy if I didn't remind you, Shoes for Orphan Souls, that that's a big project, and we're a long way from having the kind of money we really need to be able to invest in shoes. And so let me just encourage you to, and also tell you that if you don't have checks tonight, you can bring checks by the church this week. We'd be glad to do that. And we'll even take IOUs. And so just come and let us know. We'll ask the men to come. Father, for Burdette and Mary Jane and the ministry you've given them, we thank you. Pray that you'll just use them. And we pray for the grandchild that they have coming, that you'll give them a good delivery, Father, and that you will just be preeminent and continue to be preeminent in this home. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in the book of James, the scripture tells us something that the early church faced. And basically there were days and times where they were not able to find all of the help that they needed. And there became a focal point, and the focal point was that the church prayed and made it a special matter of prayer. And that's what Jim and Belinda Ryan would like us to do regarding the cancer that she has. And James 5 says, is there anyone amongst you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so what you begin to see when you look at the scripture is that prayer is a big deal. Prayer is a significant and an important event. And so what I'm going to ask is I'm going to ask for the Ryans to come up here, and we're going to ask for them to sit. And we're going to anoint, I promised Jim I would not anoint him, but we're going to anoint them with oil. I'm going to ask for our board and all of our ordained men to come, and we're going to specifically pray for them. And I think that I'm probably going to want you to remove the hat. Okay. I think that probably what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Kelly. I think I'm going to ask for you to begin, and then I'm going to have Brother Patrick. I'm going to have you close, and Kelly's going to pray, and then we're going to ask three, four, five, whatever, to pray, and everything as you feel led of the Lord. And we have a microphone we're going to pass around. And so, Kelly, if you'll get up here towards the front, I'm going to pour this oil. Okay, you may want to get your... Jim, you may want to help here. Okay, we're doing this because God's asked us to do it.
Lord, we come before you in this moment, acknowledging that you are holy and righteous. You are merciful, you're kind, you're trustworthy. And Lord, whatever the occasion, worship is always appropriate. So Father, we come together not just as a board, but as a church family. And we lift up Miss Belinda to you. Jesus, we want to give you thanks for your faithfulness to this family, and Lord, for the way that you have used them, and the way that even in the midst of this trial, their lives have borne the aroma of Christ, and many of us in this room have caught that aroma and been inspired. Lord, our prayer is for recovery. Our prayer is for healing. Our prayer is that you would do something in her life and in this family that could only be explained as a movement of God. And Lord, as we have heard our pastor say many times, we look to you because we have nowhere else to look. So Lord, we call out, we rally around Jim and Belinda and the family, and we pray that you would move and that you would work. And Lord, that in the midst of this time, you would sustain them by your truth, that you would anchor their emotions and their thoughts by truth, and that they would know an intimacy with you in these days that's unlike anything they've ever experienced. We ask these things in Christ's name.
Lord, we come to you. We thank you for Jim and Belinda and the great testimony that they've had, and for the family that you've given them, and for the love that you've given them. And we pray now for Belinda, that you'd work in her life, that you'd move. We pray for healing in Jesus' name.
Lord, you and you alone are the healer. We are grateful for medical personnel. We're grateful for the scientists who have developed various medications. But Lord, we know that you're the great physician. You are the one with the power to heal. And Lord, we come to you asking for mercy. We ask you, God, that in your magnificent grace, that you would choose to reach out and touch Belinda, that you would strengthen her and help her. We pray that the blood count would rise as is needed. But Lord, above all, we pray that your hand would touch her. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And Lord, we express our will to you that we would like to see you heal her. We know you have that power. And yet we pray within your will because we want only your will, which we know is best. So we ask that your will be done. We pray for Jim. Lord, strengthen him as a caregiver. Minister to him in a way that only you can. And thank you for a church family that is willing to come together and pray one with another and pray for healing.
Father, we're privileged to stand together tonight to pray for Belinda and Jim and stand with her family, and to ask for your help. We pray, Father, you'll do what gives you the most glory, and bring honor in everything that's done. But we ask also, Father, that you'll do a healing work in her life, that you'll touch her body, that you'll get rid of this cancer, and you'll do what only you can do. And we trust you and believe in you, and know, Father, that you love her more than we could and that anybody could. And we just ask, Father, that you'll do a special thing in her life. Even do it tonight, we ask in Jesus' name.
Father, as I think of Jim and Belinda, Father, I thank you, Father, for their testimony, for their love for each other, for their love for you, Father. And we pray only for your will, Father. We pray that you will give them the direction that they need, Father. And that if it's in your plan, Father, that you'd work, this magnificent work of healing, Father, in their life, which only you can do, Father. Thank you for giving us the chance to come to you, Father. And we trust and take whatever you have for us, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for your children who are concerned for this dear couple. I thank you for their childlike faith, who throughout the week, not only tonight, but throughout the week, pray for her healing. And Lord, you have tested them, and you have tested our prayers. Now tonight, we're going according to your word that was written in the book of James to test your word. And if it meets your pleasure, if our hearts are sincere, and they are, that you'll not only allow the chemo to work, but that you'll heal her completely.
Yes.
I pray to be with Jim, too, as he has this great concern for his wife, and that you'll strengthen him. I thank you for the faith that you have given them. I thank you for the testimony that they have, and for the trying of their faith, Lord. I pray that it might richly be rewarded according to your will. If it be, may she be healed completely, that we might rejoice, and our faith and our hope might be encouraged too. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All God's people said,
amen.
What a great opportunity we have to pray with folks and to wait on him. And I know that Jim and Belinda are looking to the Lord, and so we look to the Lord with them as we walk in this journey with them and everything. I had a couple of other prayer requests I needed to mention. Fred Bennett has a cousin that's on a missions trip in the Congo, close to rebel fighting, and so we pray, put that in your mind to pray for Fred's cousin, and he also has a cousin on the front line in the Yosemite fire. And so it seems like there's a family plan there going the wrong places, Fred. I don't know. But pray for those folks and the needs that they have. And let me just say that a week ago, the Leathers were with us. In fact, they were with us this morning in the service. And they're on a plane and going to language school. And, of course, Mary and Andrew are already in Canada starting their language school, I think, tomorrow. So lots of interesting and exciting things to happen. And then somewhere tonight we have a baby shower. And so, yes, over here. And so I don't know if the two of you want to sing or anything like that. Probably not. Okay, so don't forget about the baby shower. Don't forget about the shoes for orphan souls. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.